do this. Okay. Hey you, and welcome to the Mood Lab. It is so wonderful to have you here today. Before we dive in and I'll share more about our guest of today, I just wanted to pray for us because that is something that I wanted to start. I felt so inspired when Madison from the podcast where we talked about singleness and all that, when she prayed for us, I felt so inspired by that, that I feel like we need this every single week. So I'll do that. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We just invite you into this podcast. We ask you, would you speak? Would you speak clearly? Would you encourage us? Would you encourage our spirit? Would you teach us today what you would like to teach us? Would you align our lives with your will, Lord? We love you. We trust you. May every single listener be blessed. Would you just encourage their soul? And would you show them that you are the God that they can trust? You are the God who provides. You are the God who comes through. That you'll never leave nor forsake. That you'll never abandon. That you're close to them at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. I have the pleasure to talk to Luna Escribano. And Luna is just such a wonderful, wonderful human. I just really enjoyed talking to her. And especially this one, this episode is really a lot of her testimonial. So we talk about her journey from the New Age space to finding God. It is such a beautiful story. The story is so touching and so wonderful. And I just really connected with Luna's story. I just loved her sharing her story. It is really, really incredible and really beautiful. Finding Jesus, finding God, and the way that her life shifted and the way that she found peace. It's just so beautiful. So I don't even have much more to say to this than that, because I feel like her story will just inspire you so deeply and her story is just so encouraging. So I can only highly recommend you to listen and just to, yeah, take you on this journey. And before we dive in, if you love this podcast, please leave 5 stars. Please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcast. As you know, it means the world and it helps so, so much. And now, without any further ado, let's just dive right in. Hi Luna, welcome to the Mood Lab podcast. I am so happy to welcome you here to have this conversation. And yeah, we'd just love if we could start off with you introducing yourself. Just give us a little intro of who you are. And I mean, we'll dive into your story today, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, just maybe you can kick us off with a little introduction.
Sure. Thank you, Karina, for having me. So as you know, my name is Luna. I am a trained psychotherapist, and I used to be shamanic practitioner, a womb healer, and I used to be in that world just, sorry if you hear a truck.
That's okay.
Pretty loud. Yeah, and I used to be very much in that world and I got out of it. And ever since I've been out of that world, then I've just kind of gone a different avenue. But psychology is definitely something that I use in all the other jobs that I do.
Yeah.
At the moment, I am more into marketing and I work for a YouTube channel, and it is really interesting. And yeah, so something that keeps coming along with me is my studies in psychology and the human condition and femininity as well.
That's beautiful. That's so fun. I also work in marketing, so I I can relate to that. And it is definitely hugely built up on psychology. So it's always pretty interesting to dive into that. But that's not really what we're here for today, which also is beautiful, because I mean, when I listened to the podcast that I discovered you in, I was also just freshly on my path from New Age spirituality to finding faith and finding faith in God and Jesus. And I would just love if you could, yeah, just take us a little bit on that journey and how you entered into this path from the new age space to finding to faith. And also maybe because I don't know if I know that, but have you been just going to church or like been within Christianity before, you like maybe as a child or back in the day? So was it something that you felt like you could like pick up on again, or did it come into your life or back into your life? I would just really love to hear about that.
Yeah, so a bit of my background. So I am originally from Puerto Rico, like from the 1700s. My family has been in Puerto Rico. And I currently live in Australia. I've been in Australia for 10 years. But I was raised in a culturally Catholic home and island. So there is a lot of talk culturally about God, like go with God, be with God whenever you leave a house, or asking for an elder's blessing when you see them. So that was kind of always around. But personally, in my household, which was my mother and my grandparents, we didn't go to church. And I would ask them, like, why, what are we? Like there are people in my, people say that they're Christians or Catholics. I didn't know the difference. I remember I was in primary school around this time, and I've always felt drawn to know who I am and what am I here for? What is my purpose? And so I was asking these questions very, very early on. My family, whenever I asked them, like, what are we? They're like, well, we're Catholic. I'm like, okay, so now that we have that part down, why don't we go to church? And they were like, well, because God is in your heart. And I'm like, I was not satisfied. I've grown up with certain habits around wanting to have structure. And if there is no structure, then I have been a bit like, oh, well, I'll just do my thing and I'll just kind of go this way and see what happens there. And that is what happened. So since a very young age, then I started continuing a search. I did have a godfather, though, that used to go to church, and I asked him to take me, and I went a few times. And we used to just go for Easter time or like Mother's Day, something like that, you know, but it was not common at all. I did my first communion as being part of the Catholic Church, and that was about it. So being raised in a culturally Catholic island meant that there were pictures of Mary or Jesus here and there, even in establishments, and it was quite normal, you know, just it's okay. Whilst here in Australia, in the area I am in, Byron Bay, it is not. it is quite shocking for people, and people can see you as if you were ignorant. It's like, how are you going back to that? But we'll get to that later. Yeah, so that was my upbringing. Yeah, so the search started then. I was really curious. I had lots of questions, and I liked going to church, but it wasn't something when I found Christ or Christ found me, it wasn't something that I went back to because I didn't have the basis for it. So I had to learn. I had to learn everything for the first time.
So as I understand, it was like definitely also that inner search and that knowing that there's something more that you wanted to explore and all those questions that you already had as a child that probably kind of brought you onto that journey to seek and search, and that probably also furthered you into finding that new age space, which helps you to with answers. Like there's like a huge space of, hey, we have the answer, so here you go, you get all those little bits and pieces, and they're supposed to help you along the way. And I so get why that is so attractive. Like, I mean, I talk about this in that way because I feel so aligned with what you were saying, because I feel like that was me as a child as well, very much asking questions, questioning everything, always having that big question in my mind of why am I here? Like, why and why do I have to die at some point? I was always having those huge, huge questions around that. And my parents were like, why is she asking those questions? Like, why is she this way, you know? And for me, it took me to get to the point of really being at a very low point in my life where I was physically and mentally not well to really dive deep into the new age space. Well, I was seeking something that would help me, and I didn't have the access to go back to the Catholic space that I grew up in, because I never built that personal relationship with what was taught there, with Jesus, with Christ. It was more of like, I think it kind of similar to what you were sharing, it was all around you. And for me, it was something that it felt like it was also just a tradition that somehow was followed, but it wasn't really, there was no real intention behind it. It was just there. And that I find so interesting. So I'd love to hear, how did you then end up diving very deep into like the new age space and spending some years in that field?
So it was very close to that time when I was asking questions. And yeah. I remember I was a very sensitive child. And I think I've spoken about this before. I used to be quite sensitive to energies, to spirits. And I remember probably like the first download I ever got was when I was like 5. And I was very introverted. I just had like my own little world, and I would get these messages, and I was like, ah, so that's the answer, you know, because I was searching for something and then like an answer would come like, ah, so that has to be it. And one of them was when I was at my grandmother's garage, and I'm like, I'm just thinking about the next life. And I'm like, I wonder how will I know who my mom is in the next life? And then I came up with this silly idea of just having a paper with her name on me all the time. So whenever I died, then I could just look at the paper and remember her name and then be like, oh, okay, so for the next life, I'll bring the paper with me and I'll know who she is. That just shows that I was already in the process of just really questioning, like, what is it after here? My mom also, she's really normalized death in the sense of she has never really wanted me to fear it. And my mom was a Buddhist. She took me to Hindu temples. So, and that all has weaved into it. So I was a very open-minded child. My mom had gay friends, and, you know, it was very, very open, the world. Yeah. The world was just there for me to see. And that was fine. And my mother, she is a poet and a writer. And growing up in poetry recitals and all that just really opened my mind, you could say, even more to what is out there in the world and different philosophies and all this adult world, really. And she had a book that was called like 101 Ways to Know Yourself. And I remember when I was quite young, maybe like around 8, I picked up the book and I started reading it. I grew up as an only child, so books and craft were the thing that would entertain me. My mom would be reclusive to her room, and then I would be like, so what now? What do I do now? So yeah,
just diving into a very advanced book right away.
So I learned I learned about like tarot and Chinese astrology and just all these different modalities to help us know ourselves more. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. So that was the first part. Then when I was a teenager, when I was like 13, I went to a bookstore and I saw a book on witchcraft, on Wicca. And then that was my gateway to really immerse myself in paganism and in witchcraft. And I did like an initiation, a solitary witch initiation to dedicate myself to the goddess. And I learned about all the different gods and goddesses. And again, that was already in the back of my mind because of not Buddhism, they don't have gods, but in Hinduism, there was already that little seed that had been planted. And this book just made me flourish in that world. So I kept on reading more about weaker, and I used to believe that it was beneficial and it was very nature-centered because it's pagan, and I really, really resonated with it. And should I keep going on in this with this story, or do you want me to stop there? Because it just, that's pretty much it for those years.
Yeah. No, I find it so fascinating because it's like from such an early age, like just your way of seeking has brought you on that path. And my mind was just forming those thoughts of, this sounds like so beautiful. So, you know, because like you're in your little bubble, you found your space, you found things that you could like even get crafty with, or like artsy as well, right? It's practices that are very creative as well, and that bring out this like nature spirit and that connection to nature that as like feminine beings, we do have like an innate like connection to nature somehow, right? Because like the cyclicalness of all things, that's like very attractive to us. So I'm just wondering, and I would, we could actually dive into that maybe as like a next step. You obviously continued that for many years, because as I've gathered, it's not been for such a long time that you've connected with Christ. And I would just love to hear about, were there already on your journey like points where you were thinking, okay, somehow my heart is seeking something that is still not satisfied in there? Or I feel like at some point you might have had probably like a moment where you were like, okay, there must be something else, or like a further seeking. And how did it then happen that Christ found you and like pulled you in? And I would just love if we could just like transition into that space a bit, because I find it so interesting, because as you speak, it sounds so like, just like you being in your bubble at that point.
Yeah, and that is, I just call the new age luring. And it is beautiful, it is aesthetic, it feels good, and that is what kept me there for such a long time. But it gets you deeper into it at the same time, because there is no true resonance that it's going towards that God hole that we all have, and that can only be filled with Christ and can only be filled with God. So the search always continued, Karina. I did so much. So from that moment on, then I went into college. I studied psychology. I studied many other things, because it's like, how can I feel myself? How can I? And so I ended up with my degree in psychology, part in ecology, because I really absolutely love nature. And then I had a tragedy in my family. And this is really important to say, because in that tragedy, I was in my last exams, like really, really big exam of psychometry. And I had like to analyze personality of this child, and I had all the papers out on my grandmother's table. Then we get a call. And to make this story short, my little cousin, aged 2, had passed away. And it was an absolute shock, because he was supposed to be a daycare. And that rattled me to the core. To say rattled is not, it's such a good word to utilize, because it's like if someone just gets you right to your core and just shakes you until you just don't even know what's going on with you, with your life, with anything. So in that moment after that, the thoughts, I was 20 then.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Yeah. That must be so difficult. Yeah.
It was quite destabilizing. I was going to do my doctorate. Like, this is just what I'm going to do with my life. Continue in that path of psychology. And it just shook me so much. And I'm like, what are we here for? He was 2. He was a perfect child. Yeah. Why did he have to die? And I was already seeing the holes in psychology and how psychology can be used as a weapon to criminalize and also pathologize people. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go more to the helping side. And anyway, my little cousin passing away really shook me. So I ended up with this deep hole within me. And the thought that kept reoccurring is like, he didn't get to experienced so much of life and I need to live. I need to do this for him. And there was like a bigger purpose of like, okay, I need to do the best so far. Like I've been working since I was 15. I worked at the same time that I was in college, like full-time job, plus going to college. There was no time for fun in my life. I never went traveling. It was just like, this is what needs to be done because this is the end goal is the doctorates. So after that, I finished my college degree, which I just needed to hand in some papers. And I did a yoga teacher training. I cut my hair. I'm like, I just need to find myself again. Find what is this? Why am I in this body? So the yoga teacher training, I was really close to my teachers, and it was quite a step into going deeper into the Eastern philosophies as well. And yeah, I still had like a pagan background, so it was very much like, yes, I am embodying these things that I liked and I loved from nature. So that a few years later, just to bring it back to now, I did lots of courses around past life regressions, around feminine polarity, about I got married. I had three children. By the time my second was born, there were problems in the marriages that were never addressed. Things started crumbling. So in that time, I was like, okay, what else? So I did Ayurveda, and there was always that search. It's like whenever something in my life was kind of crumbling, it's like, okay, I need to hang on to something. It's like, what can I hang on to?
Yeah.
And in the moment when my marriage was getting really, really bad, and we both knew it, I found shamanism. And I joined this group of women that were, and look, parts of it were really beautiful, and parts of it where I'm like, yeah, that feels like it is a bit more factual, and there's science backing it rather than just spirituality. And again, I just, whenever I get into something, I just dive head first and I just dedicate everything to that. And that was in 2020 when I joined this group of women, or 2019, one of those. And I went into a year-long course, which ended up being 3 years. And I learned so much because they had like a list of references that we could read. I'm like, I'm definitely going to read all those, plus more. And I did that. And I got, after that, I did my own shamanic course separate to that. That was like legit be a shamanic practitioner. By this time, I was more into feminist spirituality from the goddess culture, and really venerating and honoring and worshiping the goddess above everything else. There was a huge disconnection with men, with the masculine. It was everything about the feminine. And I'm kind of weaving the story because everything has to do with each other, like my journey through femininity and also guiding women in their femininity. That was part of the things that I used to do and I still do. And it's so interlaced and so important to just keep it together as a marriage, our femininity and God. So here is where my journey kind of started, and I was hearing the call from God that I needed to come back. And it was actually when I was pregnant with my son. So I have two girls and one boy, the boy is right in the middle. And when I was pregnant with my son, I really felt like I needed to go to church. And my back then husband, he's like, what? Like, what? Why are you doing that? I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like I need to go to church. He's like, okay. He knew me as the yogi. I used to teach yoga from like gyms and from our little studio. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go for a surf. You go and do your thing. I'm like, perfect. And I went there and there was something that was ignited. And I was like, I'm just going to go again. And there was a bit of shame around it too, because I was supposed to be awake. I was supposed to be intelligent. I was supposed to know better. And that was kind of like the consensus, you know, of people that have transcended the whole God thing.
Oh, yeah.
So those were the first moments when I was quite connected, that I was like, wow, this actually feels really good. And it was through a lot of music as well. I really loved even then worship music.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had my son. Marriage was not doing well at all. I clinged then to the shamanic group, and that got me more into the feminist spirituality space. And then I had another, then the marriage broke down. Sorry, a marriage broke down in 2020. Anyway, so when the marriage broke down in 2020, I was very much involved in this group. And I was yoni steaming one time, and I have this grief that was just sitting right here. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? And I'm doing like some meditation and body movements and all the things. And I keep asking, what is that? And then I hear a voice say, it's your father. And then that sorrow and that grief went to my throat. And I'm like, oh, my dad. He was never there. And the voice said, not that father. And I bursted out crying. I bursted out crying. I was like, oh, that's it. And I just knew I was missing that, my heavenly father. And it was quite confronting, because at that stage I was leading women's workshops. I was already like fully into this world, and I was seen as the person, you know, to come to if you have any womb issues. I was channeling information from my spirit guides and my power animals and Junju. I was gonna apprentice to become mystery teacher, and I was a shamanic practitioner. So hearing that and feeling how instantly fulfilled I was just by recognizing that I needed my heavenly father, I was pretty shocked in that moment. But so what I did from then on, whenever I would open circle in my women's groups or all the sorts of things that I was doing, I would now bring in the light of God to cover us. And people were okay with that. You know, with God, the name God or the word God, people are like, yeah, okay, as long as you don't, you know, say the J word. Once you mention Jesus, it's like, no, 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 don't bring your faith and like, don't be pushing your religion to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I'm going to just continue with the story, it took me a really low point. It was really interesting hearing your story that it took you a really low point to go deeper into the New Age. Because for me, the New Age eventuated very naturally and from such a young age that it's just what I was doing. And it's almost like if I was in a conveyor belt of the New Age, and whenever something would happen, it's like, okay, now I'm going to look around to see what I'm going to buy, literally buying courses. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this and that.
Yeah.
So it took me a really absolutely horrendous low point when I was actually feeling suicidal. I was very, I can't even express the low point. I was going through panic attacks, through it's incredible spiritual attack, where I would disassociate from reality. I would start shaking, and no one knew what was wrong with me. I felt really alone. There was no one in my life that was there to help me in that moment.
So
as a shamanic practitioner, I was like, okay, I'm going to journey to the lower world, or wherever, or the upper world, whichever helps to, and this is through a drum journey. You put like a drum track with a steady beat to alter your state of consciousness. And then you can visualize you seeing your spirit guides, which I had a really strong communication with because I was doing shamanic healing. So I went and journeyed, and all my spirit guides kept saying, we can't help you, move on. Went to my power animals, like, can't help you, move on. And they just kind of keep palming me off to the next one. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the last ones, there were three women, and I'm like, finally, you are probably the one that's going to be able to help me. So at this stage, I was a really, really low place. My daughter had a really, this was on the 1st of January 2023 that I found out that my daughter had a huge lump on her neck, and I took her to the chemist, they're like, that looks really bad. Take it to the hospital. Took it to the hospital. They're like, that's really bad. Take it to the next hospital. I'm like, oh no, this is really bad. I'm just getting all my children to go from hospital to hospital. In the last hospital, they were like, okay, we're going to check for leukemia. And again, grabbing something grabbed me and shook me to the core. And I'm like, I can't go through this again. Like, my daughter was almost the same age as my little cousin when he died. And I was like, this can't happen. And that was the first time that I prayed. I was like, God, if you're there, whatever she has, give it to me. Like, I don't care. Just heal her. I've lived my life. Like, I don't care. I was already in such a long point. I'm like, just like, kill me. Just like, go on, give it all to me and more. Let me transmute that or whatever and just take me, like, as long as she lives. Anyway, my daughter was fine. And I, like, 2 or 3 days later, I developed the worst case of tonsillitis. And I couldn't speak. I couldn't swallow. I was spitting blood. I was completely alone. My kids were with their father. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to do the drum journey. So that's why I was doing the drum journey, to get some healing. So then when I go to my last spirit guides, I'm like, this is my last hope. When they turned around, their faces turned into demons and they were going, like, really quick to get me. And I feel someone grabbing me and pulling me up, like, up and away, completely away from that space. And in my vision, it was the Virgin Mary. And she was like, do you know that you've been communicating with demons this whole time? And I'm like, what? She's like, yes, those have been demons. I need to introduce you to my son. And in that moment, she disappeared in Christ. And this always makes me feel so, it's just so beautiful, because he appeared to me in full light, in full beauty and splendor and warmth. And I've shared this story with kids in youth group. And they're like, what does he look like?
Your first question.
Is he black or white? Is he blonde or is he not? But I saw the silhouette and like a white robe and light. He was just light, full, pure warmth and light. And I just fell to my knees, to his feet. I could not even see his face. I'm like, I just knew in that moment his worth and my worth in it is his eyes, but also my unworthiness to be in his presence. It was all such a, like, in an instant, I just knew. I just fell to my knees and I started crying. And he's like, you don't have to do that again. Just follow me. And I was like, and that's it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I barely slept that night, but eventually I did have a sleep. And then when I woke up, who's Jesus? Who is this man? Who is he? And I started looking up sermons. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this right.
I mean,
I need to get a Bible.
I mean, I literally Googled who's Jesus and why is he so important?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love those questions. Yeah. And I love the innocence of being really honest. It's like, I don't know you. I don't know you. I want to know you, but I have no idea who you are. And I was just taken to the Bible. It's like, okay, I'm going to get a Bible. I'm going to learn from the Bible. I started listening to some things on YouTube that were biblical. So it would be like a Bible verse with really beautiful music and just encouraging things to kind of adopt that Bible verse. And that really changed me. So little by little, I was still a shamanic practitioner. I was still a womb healer. I was still women's mystery guide. And
I mean, these are a lot of things to, these are a lot of things to, like, transition through, right? Or transition out of. It's like so much of your identity by that point. And then all of a sudden you discover this beautiful, beautiful relationship that you can have. And then it's like, oh, wait, how am I transitioning out of that? There's, like, so much to unpack there. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. And how I felt it within me was resistance. So I felt a lot of resistance to do what I was supposed to do. Like, I had my new beautiful Bible and I had it open and I'm reading it and I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this is crazy, like, in the best sense of, like, I didn't know all this was in just this book. I wish I had my Bible here. It's in the car. And I was doing my my courses, and I'm like, I need to read to kind of schedule like the next session of my course, because I was in the middle of a 7-week course that I was teaching. And I would read like a paragraph and feel so like, yeah, like I can't do that anymore. And then I would go back to the Bible, and I would actually have to force myself to finish the work. I did tell the women that I was going through it, and they, I mean, I'm not going to say they were understanding or not. It's not for them to say. Like, what is their take on my experience? But I was really open.
Yeah.
And I really saw how I've never had like a big following or anything, but I lost like around, gosh, like over 1,000 people when I started sharing things about God, even just God, not even Jesus. And then I started getting a bit more direct. I'm like, nah, this new age stuff is just not, it's just another search. And yeah, so I did find a church. I do go to a church. I go to Bible studies. I'm actually training to be an SRE teacher, which is special religious education in my kids' public school. And they're really excited. They think I'm the best teacher because I used to homeschool. They're like, you should be a teacher. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of cute that your kids kind of want you around.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah.
So, and one of the last things that I have been really seeing that has finally, I feel like the pendulum has, I get like when I go really deep dive into something, the pendulum kind of swings to one side and is quite extremist. I was like, this is the way. And now I feel the pendulum is in the middle, where I can actually. Yeah. So when I first had my experience with Christ, I wasn't even going out to nature because I was so scared that I was going to start worshiping nature again, or I'm going to hear the trees talking, which I used to do, or hear the river speaking. So I stopped going in nature because I was so scared that they were going to give me information and it was going to be wrong, or it was going to be a devil. So I am very happy to say that a year later, I love nature. I just love the creation that God gave us. And I can finally see it as that, as the creation that our loving Father has given us to steward and to care for and to enjoy, rather than me being like, oh no, I can't go out there.
Yeah,
it feels, that part feels really good because it's always been a part of my life. So it's like, I can just dive in the ocean and just enjoy that and feel His love through it as well. You know, like when I go into the ocean, I just feel the water and it's like, oh my goodness, like I have all the perfect sensory capacity to be able to feel the temperature, to feel the rips, to feel the waves, and I can hold my breath and I can drown if, you know, because I'm not a sea creature, but just seeing all the little intricacies within my body and outside of the birds, and it's just brought so much more appreciation to the creation and to worshiping and honoring our Father God through it as well.
That is so beautiful. There are so many things that you unpacked there where I was like, okay, this is so good. Everything is so good. I feel like one thing that I really wanted to just touch back up on for a moment, because I think that's something so important, because I've experienced that, and I think that's something that I see so many people in the New Age space experiencing, is that part of basically you discover one thing and then you discover a next thing, and you're always like seeking and searching and searching, and it feels like there is no end to it. And I even find there is so much in there where people spend insane amounts of money on courses and trying to advance their practices and become this next practitioner and the next practitioner and then the teacher and then whatever. And it's, I've spent a lot of money on those kind of courses as well. And looking back, obviously, as so many things in life, we always like are saying like, don't regret anything. But I must say there's a little regret in that. There is like, it didn't really help me in the way that I was seeking. It didn't really do the thing that I was looking for, right? It was kind of putting a band-aid on something for a moment, but there would still be this little hole, this hole that needed to be filled, that something that wasn't satiated. and there was this seeking for the next thing. So when that was finished, then the next chapter needs to be opened to advance some sort of knowing and to dive into the next practice to kind of keep you busy in a way, I guess, as well. It's just like that constant search. And I was also just contemplating how, because you said that it took you to that low point to reconnect with Christ. And like I said, for me, it took me on the journey of not being well to even like dive deeper into that new age spiritual path. Probably things that you experienced as a child as well. I felt like when I was a child, I also had those sort of connections and like very like things coming through, and like there was this connection already. So I think that thing was already kind of there. So that sparked that idea of, okay, this is something I could explore deeper and it might help me because I want to understand what I've always experienced, what I've always felt. And then just realizing that happened to me, that was like last year as well for me, getting to that point where it happened over like many, well, like, I guess like 3 years. And it was always in like low points where I would call out to God. So there would be those little touch points as the ones that you had in a different way, obviously. But it's so beautiful, like how he's like kind of knocking at our door and being like, hey, I'm here. I don't know if you're ready yet, but I'm here, like whenever you're ready, you know. It's so beautiful. And then it's actually so fun because on this podcast, I invited different guests over the last year where I didn't even know that they believed in God and that they were followers of Christ. I didn't know that. And I only discovered while I was talking with them. And I was like so open to that. I was like, oh, yeah, I do believe that too. And they never like convinced me to like feel the same way or believe the same way. They were just sharing their story. And I had that moment last year where it was another low point, a point where I was like, why didn't I get rid of my panic, my anxiety? Like, why do I feel like so bad? Why does it always come back? And like, it just gets me again. And even though like my life looks so pretty on the outside, why does it get me again? And at that moment, it was like around that time where I just had that voice in my head of, Karina, you need and want to pray. It was really that inner knowing that there is nothing else that I wish and desire and want and need and must do in that moment, like all of those things together, basically, like no way around it. And I've done it on that day. I think it was in August last year. I've never stopped since then. And so I think it is just so beautiful to see how we are called back and we're embraced and we're so loved. And then we're diving into this beautiful journey where we just are allowed to get to know him as well. And like you said, like having that urge to dive into scripture and dive into his word to understand better and to dive into sermons and just see what are others talking about his word and how can I understand this better. And that is so beautiful and so helpful. And so I honestly, by now, I don't even have an idea of like how many people are listening who actually already are believers and how many are like just still in the new age space or really embrace that in the moment that they're in right now, because this podcast has actually seen my transition. I just think it is so beautiful that we can share that. I mean, I watched a sermon as well, which was called Why Jesus, and all of those things just, they're so helpful and so beautiful, and they just connect you on such a deep level and give you so much information that just brings you so close to him, which is something so incredibly beautiful. And I love for you that you reconnected with nature also in that way of just seeing, yeah, all his creation in that. And it's so special. So yeah, I'm just really in awe of your story. Honestly, I really love that. We already talked for quite some time, but I would still love to dive a bit into Because you talked already in your story about that you were working a lot with like the feminine and like womb healing and all that stuff. So how does it look like for you now to follow your feminine design? What does it mean to you, your feminine, godly, and maybe even biblical design, really? Like how do you embrace that? How does that look like? Yeah, I would love to hear your take on that.
I would love to share. Thank you, Karina. So since that moment when I was when I was yoni steaming and I thought I was a goddess, and then I was had this thing of like, I need a father. I need a heavenly father. I knew in that moment that I was completely out of balance. I was having a lot of emphasis on the pseudo feminine.
Yeah.
And I call it pseudo-feminine because it's actually getting us away. The feminine needs the masculine. The moment when there is a group of women that are dishonoring, disrespecting men, you are going into either, I don't even think there's like a thing of toxic femininity. You're just not in your feminine at all. The godly design of women and femininity is gentleness and softness and receptivity as well. It is healing. When you're in the presence of a feminine woman, you feel like a balm. It's soothing. You don't, and I have been in the presence of many women, and some of them I just feel like my shield goes up. It's like, oh my goodness, like what's going on here? And I've been in the presence of other women, like my grandmother, and she's so beautiful that I just feel like, oh, I just want her to hug me and and just to be in her arms. And she's so loving and caring and giving and not just positive, but she just lifts everyone up. I don't think I've ever heard my grandmother, and I'm so glad that I had her as an example. My mom was mainly absent because she was working so much, but I had my grandmother and I would see her interacting with people. And she is for me the epitome of the Proverbs 31 woman. She used to be an entrepreneur. She used to help my grandfather. They had a business together and she used to help him and then kind of duck to the kitchen because they had a little like workshop in their house. Mm-hmm. She used to duck to the kitchen, make a little sandwich and just kind of sit together and eat, but then kind of working and like doing things and amazing. I'm like, I just look back at that. I'm like, you are so incredible in so many ways.
She sounds so lovely.
She is. Yeah. I wish everyone would know her. So, and she was such a beautiful presence to have continuously throughout my life and still today. And I'm so blessed. She's definitely the epitome of the biblical womanhood that I aspire to be. And also seeing that to not go on the pendulum swing too. Like I am a single mother, you know, like I do have to work. And how do I make the home work with me working and with my children and everything being in balance? And that sometimes means getting up really early and I bake my bread and then my son will get up. He's always the first one to get up, and having that quality time in the mornings and then quality time at night times and in the afternoons and taking them to nature and playing and just seeing all those things feed more my feminine. But that is because I've also learned how to surrender to God, and I've learned how to go like, God, it is in your hands. It is in your hands, Lord. There are some things that I cannot do. I cannot control. I can put in the effort to make things happen. At the same time, it is not up to me. It is God's will. And I've learned a lot also around relationships and how I can step back and just like, okay, do I actually have to speak right now? Do I actually have to say something? Is my opinion warranted? It's like, many times it's not. We speak a lot just to say, well, I agree with that or I disagree with that. When if we really see people speak to be heard, and if I can be that person that can just hear someone speak, then let that be so. I don't have to show anyone how much I know or like how intelligent I am or how wise or how it's not.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the toxic part of being feminine or a woman that we're just like, here are my needs, hear me, these are my needs, the wrath that's going to come out. It's like, I found so much peace and humility. Not sure if it's humble to say that I found humility, but it's just what's come up, to just sit back and just listen. Mm-hmm. And I've had people talking for almost like a straight hour. I've had people talk for straight 4 hours and just being there, just being like, okay. And if there is a hard conversation, just praying, just being like, God, please help me get through this. I know this person really needs to be heard or seen. And I think those are really important parts of being a feminine woman, understanding men as well, understanding that God is the structure, he's the provider, he's the leader. As there are any single mothers out there, it's not like you don't need a man. You do, and that's God. You do need that support. And if it's God willing, he will present you with a beautiful, loving, caring man that is going to be good for you and the children too.
So good.
Fully surrendering, to that masculine. Because I was always like, what masculine am I surrendering to? Am I surrendering to my partner? Am I surrendering? And I honestly feel surrendering to your partner in that way without having a connection with God was the worst thing I could have done. Because then I put my partner on a pedestal and I was seeing him like God. And Karina, getting out of that space was one of the hardest things I could have done. It was literally like on breaking apart the identity I had connected to this person that I saw as my God. And that was in months of just like, okay. And asking myself, like, who is my God? It's like, who is my God here? Who am I wanting to please? Who am I wanting to be? Who am I in this person's eyes versus who am I in God's eyes?
Yeah.
And
we so need to have that strong foundation. It's not like, I mean, I've had my fair share of experiences with relationships, nothing as strong as obviously a marriage and what you've experienced. But even in those little, let's say, lesser little situations of dating someone or getting close to someone without having God as your foundation and in your center, you literally just set yourself up for getting hurt, for failure, for just having such a struggle, honestly. And it's so interesting to me because I always had it in my heart that I knew that something wasn't really right, because I felt like, for me, I always felt like the world was telling me, like, you have to be physical with, like, more men, and, like, you have to, like, do more stuff, and you have to, I don't know, why aren't you doing one-night stands and things like that. I was literally told those things, and I was sitting with women in a circle and women like sharing with me how many men they've slept with, and I was like, why don't I have that desire within myself, or why don't I feel like that's right? Is something wrong with me? Like, I was really questioning myself. And then when I had situations where I would get closer to someone without that foundation in God, I would literally every time just get out so devastated and so hurt. The remedy that everyone tells you is just to throw yourself back into the pool, basically. And it doesn't work. It's not sustainable at all. And I think more people really need to hear this, like, especially more women need to hear this, because we are like, literally struggling, we're like getting hurt, we're suffering, and it's so important that this is like, I mean, since I started then reading the Bible as well and like getting like just deepening my relationship with Christ, I was like, oh my, I finally arrived. Like, I'm reading something that resonates so deeply and that is so true to me and so wholesome and so valuable, because it really protects my heart as a woman. And I find it so fascinating, because like so many people out there could see it as like restrictive, or like, I mean, this is what you like constantly hear is like, oh, the Bible tells you like certain rules and regulations basically. And I just see it as, there's so much goodness that is protecting me. Like, this is there for me, and it's like for my good. That's so valuable. So I just love that we just like got to this point and like touched up on that for a moment. I think that's just so important to share. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
that it's like just like went in there. But I just love that you were also sharing about just being a single mom. I think there's so much that goes into that as well. And for you, probably, I can only imagine having that foundation is so necessary to be able to be in your feminine and to, I guess, portray a sort of, I don't want to say a healthy feminine version, but like your biological design, basically, because like that's, I think, always what we probably desire. I mean, I'm not a mom, so I'm just speaking in like what I feel like is going to happen. But I feel like that would be what I theoretically would want to portray to my kids if I get to have some. Yeah, it's so beautiful that you have that foundation in there as well. Yeah, there's so much goodness. My head is just like currently going into like all the places. And I feel, I don't know, I just feel so much of that blessing that we get to have this relationship and that we got to have this moment of getting to know Jesus and like continuing to get to know him. Yeah. Is there anything that you feel like is helping you to just like keep on deepening your relationship with God these days? Like how, especially as like a mom and like probably being super busy, having so many things that you kind of take care of and have to take care of that helps you just stay in his word and just guides you. And yeah, I would just love to hear about that for a moment.
Yeah, so I feel at the start I was like every single day on the word. And if I didn't understand something, I would go towards the sermon that would explain it. And it was like, I read the New Testament in like no time because I was, and I got sick too. And I was just in bed and the only thing I could do is read. It's like, might as well. And I got through it pretty quickly. And now I'm going chronologically and it's a bit like, there's a bit, I have to kind of like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. This is important. I want to read the whole Bible, you know. But so instead of now me being really, because again, the pendulum for me, it just kind of swings. It's like, you're not doing it, so you're not good enough. And all the little words that I was programmed with in the last few years start coming back. And I'm like, no, what's my center? My center is what God says about me. So I have lots of little books around in my house that constantly remind me. Not that I need that much reminding. I'm constantly in prayer. For me, prayer is the number one thing that I go to. I pray every single morning, every single night. I pray during the day. If something comes up for me, I pray. If something's going on for someone I know, it's like, can I pray for you? It's like the ultimate thing that I use. Yeah, I do like, I actually just got from the thrift shop, the op shop, a little book called God's Promises for Women. And it's like a little pocket book. I'm like, yes, I'm gonna carry this with me. So I usually carry books with me. Yeah. And whenever I'm in a place, like even going to a cafe, I bring my book with me to order a coffee. There's a line and I start reading. And that's the way that I kind of keep connected to the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is so many moments, and my kids now, like I pray over them too, and they remind me as well.
Yeah.
Especially my son. And it's so funny because he is the one that's most connected to Jesus, and he's the one that actually connected me to God when I was pregnant with him. So it's quite beautiful. He'll say things like, what would Jesus do in this situation, Mom? And I'm like, oh, goodness.
I love that. Oh, that's like, beautiful.
I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are reminders everywhere.
Yeah.
Like I see a leaf and I think it's whenever I take the time to kind of stop.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that there, God, that's the evidence, the proof of God right there in that leaf, in that ladybug and in the blue sky. So it's just kind of bringing that awareness. Yeah. That really like helps me stay connected.
Yeah. It's that constant reminder that like, he's so good. Like, he's like always, always there and so good. And I love how children are so pure and so beautiful and just like keep reminding us of what is good and what. Like also their curiosity, I think that's like the number one thing that we can learn from, especially on such journeys that like yours. It's like, as you said, we tend to like swing with our pendulum into like very extreme direction sometimes. And when we remind ourselves of that childlike, playful nature and just asking questions, that can just really humble us and bring us back in some sort of balance. So I think that is so, yeah, it really is so beautiful and so whole. The last question that I ask everyone on here is, if there's one thing that you wish more humans would know about, what would that be? And yeah, something that touches you deeply.
The love of God.
And I mean, yeah.
If every human would know how much they're actually loved, that doesn't matter what they've been through. That doesn't matter if they do have a father, if their father sucked, if the father was whatever, there is a beautiful, loving, caring, wonderful father that absolutely adores them. And he's just there. Yeah, he's just there and can be accessed at absolutely any moment. And he wants a relationship with us. He's a relational God. Yeah. And I feel if more people would really sink into the feeling of love that God has for us, they would be lifted. It's just a love that is lifting, and it's healing, and it's purifying and cleansing, and it's guidance as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. That is so beautiful. Yeah, that personal relationship that we can have that is so intimate. It's, yeah, thank you. Really, really enjoyed this conversation so much. And your story, really, it really touched me to hear a story. And it's a beautiful story that I feel like I'm so excited for everyone to hear when they're at this point of the podcast. They've already heard it, but it's just beautiful. I would love, as the very last thing, if you could share, where can people find you if they want to connect with you or see what you're doing online and the things that you're sharing there. Yeah, just let everyone know.
Yeah, so at the moment I am on Instagram and my handle is luna.escribano, E-S-C-R-I-B-A-N-O dot Pereira, which is P-E-R-E-I-R-A.
Yes, I will also link it in the show notes. Yeah, it will be linked. It will be very made easy.
I answer all my DMs as well. So yeah. I get people coming in and it's like, oh, I need a prayer or anything or questions. I'm so open. I just leave random people voice notes when they ask me questions. And I just love to support or just be there for people.
Yeah, I love doing this as well. I think especially us two, we still don't have like the biggest following. So it's like still manageable. There is like still space.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to be like, to have that opportunity to personally connect with someone. And I just really love that so much as well. So yeah, so beautiful. I love that you're doing that. Thank you so much for coming on here, for spending your time with me on this podcast. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Karina. It was a pleasure talking to you.